الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, there are many benefits and blessings of sending peace and salutations upon the Noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. According to one narration, he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated that whoever recites salat upon me, whoever sends salutations upon me, his salat reaches me. Sending of his salutations reaches me. I pray for his forgiveness, and other than this, 10 good deeds are written for him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, before listening to the bayan, let's first of all make some good intentions for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to earn reward. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. And an important point that we need to be mindful of, that the more good intentions we make for any righteous and permissible task, the more reward we attain. So we shall ensure that whenever we perform any righteous or any permissible action, we should try to make as many intentions as we can. Inshallah, this will maximize the amount of our reward. Let's make few intentions for listening to this speech today, such as, in order to gain the knowledge of Islam, lowering my eyes, I will listen to this speech attentively. Whenever I hear Tubu ilallah, Uthkurullah, Sallu ala al-Habib, etc., I will reply loudly with the intention of gaining reward. And you may increase more intentions as per your condition. Insha'Allah, this will maximize our reward. Sallu ala al-Habib, Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, the topic of today's speech is upbringing of children. Very hot favorite topic, a very big issue of our society if you think about it. That upbringing of children, how should it be done? Inshallah Zawajal, today we will shed some light on the importance of upbringing of children and how should we upbring our children. Remember that providing a good upbringing to children is like the backbone in the reformation of society. When children become pious and Islamic teachings are instilled into their character, then society will develop exemplary peace and tranquility. In today's speech, inshallah, we will listen to a hadith regarding good upbringing of children, narrations of the parents of the past and how they would nurture their children, and many other important points, inshallah, azza wa jal. If only we are enabled to listen to the entire speech with good intentions and complete focus. Let us listen to a faith-enlightening parable of a pious father and his well-nurtured daughter. Sayyiduna Shaykh Kirmani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, was a very famous pious individual of his era. When his daughter, who was of a beautiful appearance and character, became eligible for marriage, a marriage proposal came for her from a king. But Sayyiduna Shaykh Kirmani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, requested for 3 days to think about it, to think about the proposal of the king. And after this, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh started to look for a pious young man going around from one masjid to another. His sight fell upon a young man who completed his salah in an excellent manner, in a very good manner. Shaykh Kirmani rahmah saw that this young man has completed his Salah in. So the Shaykh, he goes to him and asks him that, are you married? To which the young man replied, no. Then Shaykh Kirmani al-Rahma said that, do you want to get married? The girl recites the Quran, is habitual in offering her salah and fasting, and she is beautiful and of a pious nature. Now listening to this, that young man, he said that, who would want to marry me? As in that person, young man, he was very poor. So he said to Shaykh that, who would want to marry me? And the Shaykh replied that, I will arrange it. Here, take some dirhams and buy bread from one dirham, buy curry for one dirham, and buy some perfume for one dirham. So in this manner, Shaykh Kirmani rahmatullahi ta'ala had his pious daughter's nikah done with this young man. Now the nikah is performed, the marriage has taken place, and when the bride came to the groom's house, she saw that a dry piece of bread was placed upon a vessel of water. She asked, what is this bread about? What is this? To which the groom replied that, this is the stale bread from yesterday, which I kept for iftar, for breaking my fast today. Now hearing this, the bride, the newly wedded bride, she started returning back to her home. And seeing this, the groom, he said that, I knew that the princess-like daughter of Sayyidina Shaykh Kirmani rahmatullahi ta'ala can never stay with a poor person like me. Now over here, he was thinking that the daughter of Shaykh Kirmani alayhi rahma, who's now his wife, she's returning. Why? Because he's a very poor person. So these are the thoughts that struck his mind. So he also expressed this verbally, saying that, I knew that how come the princess-like daughter of Shaykh Kirmani alayhi rahma will stay with a poor person like me. Now upon this, the bride, she replied that, I'm not returning because of your poverty. Listen to the answer very carefully, viewers of Madani Channel. This is something that should touch our hearts and we should ponder upon our state as well. She said that, I'm not returning because of your poverty. I'm returning because your reliance, your trust in Allah Almighty seems to be very weak. I'm amazed at my father. How did he describe you as a sound-natured and pious man? Upon seeing this, the groom was embarrassed. And he said that, I apologize for this weakness of mine. And the bride, she said that, keep your excuse to yourself. However, I cannot stay in a house that has one time's food stored in it. Now, either I will stay here or this bread will stay here. Upon this, the groom immediately went and gave that bread in sadaqah, in alms. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So, O devotees of the awliya, you've just heard that how well, the renowned saint of his time, Sayyidina Shaykh Kirmani rahmatullahi ta'ala, how well had he nurtured his daughter. His well-nurtured daughter had complete reliance and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She did not become upset at the lack of wealth or luxuries in her husband's house. Rather, she complained about him storing bread for iftar, for breaking his fast. Surely, his daughter had this mindset due to him providing her an Islamic upbringing, as he himself was Allah fearing and possessed complete trust in Allah Almighty. This is where we need to focus upon, dear viewers of Madani Channel, that he himself was Allah fearing and had complete trust and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, he gave his daughter an Islamic upbringing and chose a pious worshipper for her marriage, so that the blessings of the fear of Allah Almighty and piety can also transfer to their children as well. Of course, if a person is pious himself, his children benefit from his good deeds as well. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated that, no doubt Allah Almighty rectifies the child of a person and the children of that child and so on due to his good deeds. And Allah Almighty protects his children and him in his neighbors and keeps them all veiled and protected. A serious amount of neglect is shown in our society when it comes to the upbringing of children. Perhaps the reason for this is that the parents are not well trained themselves. Now how can one who is unaware of the rulings of Sharia and in need of training himself train and nurture others? Therefore, when such parents start receiving proposals for their daughter's marriage, they prioritize for the guy to be wealthy, possessor of various degrees of worldly qualification, for him to be from a modern family, regardless of him not praying at all, sinning openly, earning haram, being known for deceiving people, unaware of the necessary rulings of Islam, and even if he is an embodiment of heedlessness. Whereas, if somebody advises them to marry their daughter off to a guy whose income may be less, but it is 100% halal, is capable of fulfilling the rights of the wife, abstains from sins, and is religious, is an embodiment of knowledge, piety, modesty, and acting upon sunnahs, is enriched with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and is an imam, muazzin, qari, or is attached to an Islamic environment, then what happens? That ma'adullah, such hideous remarks are made regarding him that, oh, our daughter will die out of starvation if she's married to him. Or they say that he'll keep her shackled at home, he'll keep her veiled from head to toe. Ma'adullah, these are the types of remarks that we hear from those kind of people nowadays in our society. Remember that good parents, fortunate parents, they always look for a religious person for their daughters and sisters' weddings. Alhamdulillah, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has also commanded to marry a pious individual. He sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has stated that when such a person offers you a marriage proposal whose religiousness and character you like, then do nikah with him, perform wedding with him. If you do not do this, then tribulations, fitna, and big evils will take form on earth. And Hakim al-Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he states that this hadith, it means that when you find a religious person of good character and habits for your daughter, then do not delay in the marriage of your young daughter out of the greed of wealth or in the weight of a millionaire. This is because in waiting for a wealthy guy, if girls are not married off, then a lot of girls will remain unmarried, and a lot of boys will remain unmarried on the other end, and this will lead to a surge in fornication, which will cause humiliation for a girl's family. The result of all this will be that families will fight one another, leading to killing and bloodshed, which has started to become apparent nowadays. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, we come to know that what do we need to do when we are worried about the upbringing of children? First of all, we should provide them with an Islamic upbringing. And for this, of course, we ourselves should be well acquainted with Islamic knowledge. We ourselves should be well trained from the perspective of Islamic knowledge. Only then we will be able to train our children as well accordingly. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to train our children in order to create peace and tranquility in our society. Because our children, they are the future of our society. If they are not well trained from Islamic perspective, then how do you expect for peace and tranquility to prevail in society? Of course, consequently, what will happen? There will be a great unrest in the society. So through prophetic traditions, through the commands of the Holy Quran, we come to know that we have to provide a good upbringing to our children, an Islamic upbringing to our children, if we want them to emerge as a prominent individual in the society, and if we want peace and tranquility to prevail in our society. Even in the Holy Quran, we've been persuaded, we've been encouraged to look after our acquaintances, our children, our family, and provide them with a good upbringing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in part 28, Surah Tahrim, verse number 6, translation from Kanzul Iman, that, O believers, save yourselves and your families from the fire, the fuel of which are humans and stones. And Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti, Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala, states in the commentary of this hadith in Dhur-e Mansur that when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse, then honorable Sahaba alayhim wa ridwan, they inquired that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how shall we save our family members from the fire of hell? So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that, command them of the acts that are beloved to Allah Almighty and prohibit them from the acts that are disliked by Allah Almighty. Subhanallah, what a comprehensive statement this is. How beautifully we have been taught in this hadith regarding how can we save ourselves and our family members from the fire of hell, the fuel of which are humans and stones. It is to command them of those actions which are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prohibit them from those actions which are disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As well as it being important for ourselves to rectify ourselves, it is also necessary to provide Islamic education and upbringing to our children. So where we worry about reforming ourselves, at the same time providing Islamic education and Islamic upbringing to our children is also equally important. We cannot neglect this fact. Therefore, everyone should provide Islamic education to his family members and all those that are under his responsibility. This is of a paramount importance for us. This is mandatory for us, that whoever is under our responsibility, we are guardian of the house, or whoever comes under our guardianship, we need to provide them with an Islamic upbringing and Islamic education. So similarly, a person should nurture his subordinates, all those who come under his responsibility according to Islamic teaching, so that they are successful in being protected from the fire of hell. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Tale-telling, ostentation, deceiving and backbiting are such traits that a child should be encouraged to abstain from a very young age, because children who still have not reached the age of puberty may not get the sin for it. But these childhood habits become so frequent that it becomes difficult to abstain from them once a person becomes older. If children, ma'azallah, are used to backbiting, are used to tale-telling, so and so forth, they will not be held accountable for these sins. But they will become so used to these sins that when they grow up, it will be very difficult for them to shun these sins, to remove these sins from their character, because it will be firmly built within their characters. And it is stated that especially backbiting and tale-telling, that these are such traits that distance brothers from sisters, sisters from brothers, and parents from their children. Because of these, because of backbiting and tale-telling, families are ruined, so much so that it leads to fighting and quarreling. Therefore, we should abstain ourselves from backbiting and tale-telling, and also encourage our children to abstain from them as well. Now for encouragement, let us listen to three statements of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding backbiting and tale-telling. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that Allah Almighty will resurrect backbiters, tale-tellers, and those who find fault in blameless people in the form of dogs on the Day of Judgment. Another hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that backbiting and tale-telling cuts one's iman like a shepherd cuts a tree. Another hadith, where the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has said that a tale-teller will not enter paradise. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, in order to avoid the horrors of the Judgment Day and attain the supreme favors of paradise, save yourself and your children from backbiting and tale-telling as well as other sins. Encourage your children to abstain from lying, swearing, deceiving a Muslim, and motivate them to pray. Show them how to act upon sunnahs and how to honor elders. Make them habitual of reciting the glorious Quran and teach them to always observe a pleasant conduct with people. May Allah Almighty enable us and our children to live our lives according to Islam, and enable us to work for the progress of Deen, for the progress of Islam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now dear viewers of Madani Channel, let's listen to some advice of the parents of the past, the parents, the noble parents, that how would they advise their children. And on the contrary, what do? We advise our children and encourage them to only live for this dunya, how to earn wealth, how to attain a status in this world, which through halal means is permissible, and we should encourage them to do this as well. But the actual goal and actual aim, which is to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we unfortunately don't provide this mindset to our children. Now, let's look at a few accounts where the righteous predecessors, how would they advise their children when it came to provide them with upbringing. Sayyidina Imam Asma'i rahmatullahi ta'ala states that I saw woman who was saying was advising her son. Now this was her advice to her son. She says, O my son, the ability to do an action is granted by Allah Almighty. So I advise you, avoid tale-telling because it causes enmity between two tribes and separates friends. Second piece of advice that she gave. She says, refrain from seeking faults in people lest you too may become defective. Don't show off in worship. Avoid being stingy when it comes in spending your wealth. Take lessons from the consequential ends of others. Whatever action of others you like, act upon it yourself. And whatever action you dislike in them, refrain from it yourself. Because a person is blind to his own shortcomings. Then that woman became silent. Sayyidina Asma'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said that I asked her that, O Bedouin woman, for the sake of Allah Almighty, advise further. So she asked, O the citizen of city, did you like the advice of a Bedouin? So he says that I said, by Allah, I like it. So she said, son, avoid being deceptive because out of all dealings that you have with people, deceit is the worst. Adopt generosity, knowledge, humility and modesty. Now, I bid you farewell in the protection of Allah Almighty. May peace be upon you and may Allah have mercy upon you. And remember, backbiting, ghiba, backbiting is worse than fornicating 30 times in the state of Islam. Once you have accepted Islam in the state of Iman, backbiting is 30 times worse than fornicating. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is the advice of that Bedouin woman to her child. What kind of advice do we give to our children nowadays? Do we have the same mindset and concern for the hereafter? The fire of hell, the day of judgment, how difficult is the day of judgment? Then the bridge of Sirat, the accountability of the day of judgment, the matters of the grave, the matters when the soul is being taken out of our bodies, do we give this mindset to our children? Because if this mindset is not given to our children, then how do we expect them to come on the path of piety? And if that is not the case, then how would they emerge as a prominent individual, a prominent Muslim within society? Hence, as a consequence, what will happen? There will be a great unrest in the society, because the ideal society is the one which the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam taught us that how it should be. And those teachings, unfortunately, we don't teach those teachings to our children. And one of the biggest reasons for that is because we ourselves don't know those teachings. We ourselves are far away from Islamic knowledge. If we ourselves don't know those teachings, how would we bring our children in the light of Islamic teachings ourselves? Now let's listen to another righteous personality, that how he looked after his children and what was his conduct. And this account is of none other than the Muballighe Dawat Islami, who was the member of Shura, the central executive committee of Dawat Islami, late Hadi Zamzam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. What was his conduct? How did he deal with his children? And when he would go for a journey, how would he still be worried about his children? Let's hear about this. It is stated that the mother of the children of Muballighe Dawat Islami, Rukne Shura, late Haji Abu Junaid Zamzam Raza Attari rahmatullahi ta'ala, he states that Haji Zamzam loved his children very much. When the daughters would come home, he would set aside all his tasks and come to meet them, his daughters. At home, if he ever would be a bit firm in rectifying someone over his mistake, he would also explain alongside that I'm explaining to you for the sake of your own benefit and for the sake of your salvation in the hereafter. Whilst eating food, he would ask kids to take lead in reciting du'as, and he would make arrangements to eat according to sunnah. As much as possible, he would take his sons with him to offer salah. If He went to a Madani Qafila. He would instruct them to offer Salah. And he would even remain in touch through text messages during his journey to make sure whether they're offering their Salah or not. Even in the state of illness, Hadi Zamzam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi said to his elder son, "Oh son, as soon as I get better, inshallah, we will travel in a Madani Qafila together." He explained the reason for not buying a luxurious things for his sons by saying that since Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatumul Aliyah has instructed to keep children away from those things that take children away from deen and indulge them in sins, hence I'm not buying those things for you. So dear Mr. Madani channel, look at the beautiful mindset Hadi Zamzam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi possessed. Even on a journey, he would make sure that his children are offering Salah at home. Why? Because offering Salah is fard. Offering Salah is mandatory, is compulsory. And this is the responsibility of father, responsibility of parents to teach these teachings to their children. So what do we learn from this beautiful seerah of Hadi Zamzam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi as well? That there is advice for both, for parents and children. Those parents who are Allah fearing, who are fortunate parents, they never neglect their children's Islamic upbringing. Rather, they strive immensely in rectifying them. Because parents are able to see the goods and bads of their children. They can rectify them. They can see where their children are going wrong, so they can rectify them. And if the parents, they themselves are regular in offering their salah, they act upon 72 pious deeds, they themselves are an embodiment of sunnah, then they also encourage their children to adopt these pious deeds and regularly ask them to see if they carry out these deeds or not. Anyhow, parents should now decide that they will now fulfill the important task of providing an Islamic upbringing to their children and making them a means of continuous reward, sadaqah jariyah, for themselves. Or will they still give them the total complete freedom and make them a means of destruction for the hereafter? This is up to parents now. They need to make their own decision. That at the same time, where we are giving them the mindset of this dunya of earning halal sustenance, where we are teaching them different ways of this dunya, by all means we should do this for them, but at the same time don't neglect their Islamic upbringing. Either they can be a means of continuous reward for us, or the destruction of our afterlife. The choice is ours. Hadi Zamzam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, why was he able to teach his children? Why was he able to take his children with him to offer Salah? It was because he himself was steadfast in offering Salah. He himself was steadfast in acting upon his sunnahs. When he would eat food, he would eat according to sunnah. He would recite the du'as which have been prescribed in a hadith, and he would make his children follow the same suit as well. But if a person himself doesn't know the method of offering Salah, or he himself doesn't offer Salah, then how can he ask his children to offer Salah? If a person himself doesn't know the sunnah method of eating food, then how can he encourage his children to eat according to sunnah as well? So we as parents need to decide for ourselves the path that we want to tread upon for our future in the light of having children. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now dear viewers of Madani channel, a question arises in the mind that, okay, the importance of providing an Islamic upbringing has been highlighted. Now, what is the way of doing so? Alhamdulillah, Da'wat Islami not only highlights the social evils, the social issues, but also provides with a solution. This is the beauty of Madani channel. This is the beauty of staying associated with the beautiful, fragrant Madani environment of Da'wat Islami, that also provides us with a solution. Now, inshallah, we will go through some of the methods which we can adopt to provide an Islamic upbringing to our children. First one that we come to know is that teach them the beautiful, the blessed name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a child becomes more consciously aware and begins to say things, then teach him the name of his creator, the name of his owner, Allah first. and try to have him recite the kalima before anything else. As the compassionate Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, that make your children say la ilaha illallah before anything else. Our noble predecessors would teach kids the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would strive to make sure that the child becomes so habitual of uttering the name of Allah Almighty that it becomes their lifelong wazifa, their lifelong litany. This is how much they would strive immensely in this regard. Sayyidina Sahal bin Abdullah rahmatullahi ta'ala would worship alongside his maternal uncle from the tender age of 3. He was only 3 years old. Since then, he started worshipping with his maternal uncle all night long. His uncle said that before sleeping every night, recite these words once: Allah is with me, Allah sees me, and Allah is a witness upon me. So since the age of 3, his maternal uncle is instilling this concept in his mind that Allah sees me, Allah is with me, Allah is witness upon me. So from the age of 3, this thing is being instilled in a 3-year-old child that Allah sees me all the time, Allah is with me all the time, Allah is witness upon me all the time. Imagine when that child grows up and when he has this firm belief in his mind that Allah is seeing me, Allah is witness upon me, He is with me. Then imagine how such a person can commit a sin when this concept has firmly instilled in his mind that Allah is watching me, that Allah is with me, Allah is witness upon me. Then how can such a person commit a sin? Unfortunately, we do verbally proclaim that Allah is with me, that Allah is watching us, but do we actually believe in this? Just imagine a CCTV camera. We are in front of a CCTV camera and we don't commit a crime. Or take an example of traffic light. When it's red, we don't break the rule, and rightly so, we shouldn't. But one of the major reasons is because there's a camera fitted over there. We fear that if we proceed any further, violate the law of the land, what will happen? We'll be fined. And we shouldn't violate the laws of the land that do not contradict Sharia. Now, over here, that fear stops us from violating that law of the land. Over here, if we are rightful in our claim that we do believe in this concept that Allah Almighty is watching us, He is with us all the time, we can never hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the question is that why do we sin? This is something that we need to ponder upon. So coming back to the narration, his maternal uncle instilled this concept that Allah is watching me, Allah is with me, Allah is a witness upon me from the age of 3. And it is further stated, when he became habitual of reciting this, his uncle said that now recite this 7 times daily. So he had become habitual in this. Now his uncle said that recite the same thing 7 times daily. And when he became habitual of this as well, then he was instructed to recite it 15 times. Then throughout his life, he would recite this wazifa. He would recite this litany. So, dear viewers of Madani channel, his uncle over here made him so firm in this concept that it was instilled so firmly in his mind, in his heart, that he not only verbally proclaimed it, but he believed in it from his soul and heart. He practically acted upon it. He meant what he was uttering from his tongue. And this was by the virtue of his upbringing that his maternal uncle provided him from the tender age of 3. This is the effect, this is the impact of providing your children with an Islamic upbringing, that today when we take his name, we say Rahmatullahi Ta'ala next to his name. This is the beauty of this concept of teaching our children with Islamic education. And Alhamdulillah, nurtured by the company of the pious elders, our Shaykh Amir of Ahlul Sunnah, Allama Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatumul Aliyah, had instructed all his family members to keep uttering Allah, Allah in front of his granddaughter, so that the first thing she utters is the word Allah. And when she was brought to him, he would also perform the zikr of Allah in front of her. And when his granddaughter began to speak, the first word she uttered was Allah. Alhamdulillah. we come to know, we see the glimpse of the awliya of the past in Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliyah today. Alhamdulillah. This is what he's practically making sure that his family also follows the same suit. And there's a great lesson for us as well. So first method that we learn is to teach our children the name of Allah. Another good method of providing a good upbringing is to tell our children of the accounts of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of the honorable companions, the honorable Sahaba. With the blessings of this, children will inshallah develop the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the honorable companions alayhim ridwan in their heart. Tell them of the accounts of the Prophet, tell them of the accounts of the Sahaba. Inshallah, the love of Sahaba, the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will increase in their hearts. Tell them of those accounts where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told them of looking after your parents, where the companions alayhim ridwan, they looked after their parents. Tell your children of the accounts of the awliya, where they looked after their parents and the way they looked after their parents. Inshallah, the love of the Sahaba, awliya, will instill in their hearts. And inshallah, they will also develop a mindset of looking after their parents, i.e. yourself, when they grow older. Because this is how they will be nurtured throughout their lives. So it is upon us how we want to nurture our children. So if you want your children to be pious, if you want your children to look after you, what have we learned today? That we first of all need to become pious ourselves. We first of all need to be punctual in offering our salah, acting upon the sunnah, being modest, being patient ourselves. Only then we will also be able to preach the same to our children. If we don't offer a salah ourselves, how do we expect our children to listen to us when we tell them to offer salah? And when we ourselves do not act upon sunnahs, then how do we expect other children to act upon sunnahs? So famously known that actions speak louder than words. You start offering salah yourself, you start being patient yourself, inshallah, your children will see this change in your character. And when you preach the same to them, then inshallah, there will be an effect in your words as well. And slowly, inshallah, you start seeing things changing for good. Alhamdulillah, it is observed many times that those parents who wake up for Fajr Salah, their young children upon whom Salah is not even fard yet, they also wake up to offer Salah with them. Alhamdulillah. Those parents who eat according to Sunnah, Alhamdulillah, their children also follow the same Sunnah. Alhamdulillah, it is often observed that those parents, those individuals who look after their parents and respect their parents in front of their children, then their children also respect them in return. Because how do you expect for your children to respect you when you don't respect your parents yourself? So when they see you respecting your parents, then inshallah they will also start respecting you as well. Alhamdulillah, we have many accounts where Islamic brothers, after coming in the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami, after getting these beautiful messages, Alhamdulillah, they started to look after their parents, Alhamdulillah. They serve their parents every night. And the way they serve their parents, for example, oil their feet, massage them, look after them, their young children, Alhamdulillah, the next day would be holding the bottle of oil and they would be doing the same to their father. Why? Because they saw their father doing the same. So until and unless you don't bring a change in yourself, this change will not be transferred in your children. So this is very important that we need to understand. If a father, ma'azallah, smokes cigarette himself and he keeps telling his child not to smoke, do you think there will be much of an effect in his words? There wouldn't be the ways of Madani Channel. So we need to choose our path. That what path do we want to tread upon and what path do we want to choose for our children? Do we want to make them into a means of continuous reward for ourselves in the hereafter? Or do we want to make them into a means of, ma'adallah, a destruction of our afterlife? The choice is ours. Both avenues are open in front of us. But make sure that we become amongst those that ensure and make efforts for our household to be protected from being the fuel of fire of hell, the fuel of which are men, humans and stones. And Alhamdulillah, the beautiful environment, the beautiful religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami is before you. That is there to help you, Alhamdulillah. That is there to teach your children how to respect parents. Madani Channel is spreading the message of Islamic teachings, alhamdulillah. Make your children watch Madani channel on daily basis. Make your children attend the religious activities of Dawat-e-Islami. At the moment, during this pandemic, alhamdulillah, the activities of Dawat-e-Islami are going online, alhamdulillah. This weekly gathering, which you are watching at the moment on Madani channel, normally takes place in Masajid, where people come and alhamdulillah, they learn a lot of knowledge. But at the moment, alhamdulillah, it is going through Madani channel. You make your children watch Madani channel so they can also learn and understand that what actually Islam is and what Islamic knowledge is. And inshallah, azawajal, they will develop a mindset, they will come closer to Islam, inshallah, azawajal, and they will also start respecting you. A beautiful environment will be created in your homes, inshallah, azawajal. So this is very, very important, to create a beautiful environment in your home, inshallah, azawajal. The beautiful environment of Dawat-e-Islami is there for you.
Oh,